Blog Talk Radio.
As you may know, we got policies here, man. Anytime MC is set to the mic, you gotta catch record for the rap. DJ Revolution, Carmelita.
What's happening? This is G-Bev. Hey, listen, you know how we do it. It's a Friday night. It's 7:03, and it's time to sign off forms. We're about to kick it, and you know how we do it, right? You know how we do it. We got to come with our stuff. If you'd like to call in tonight, area code 347-989-1014. If you want message me on Facebook or add in a comment. You can find me at facebook.com/george.mango.904. If you want to come to my sign off page, you can find me at sound off forums, that's with three F's and an S. Be reading from Ephesians 6:6-20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of dark places of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girt your waist with truth, having put the breastplate of righteousness, and having the shield on your feet, with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with you, will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, which all preservation and supplication for all the saints. And for me, utterance may be given to you. And I open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may be bold, speak boldly with as I ought to speak. And that's Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to be on tonight, and we are starting this new era of Sign Off Farms, and I'm so excited. I've done put some updates on my Sign Off Farm Facebook page. There's also an update on my Twitter page. You can find me at Twitter at SoundOff97413. That's Twitter at SoundOff97413. So, tonight is Anything Goes. Anything goes. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. So I just hope that you're ready for it. I mean, because I got a lot on my mind. And I'm not going to hold back because, hey, this is not the season to be holding back these days, because we got some crazy stuff going on in the world. And if you don't know, you need to know. You need to follow up on things that don't sound right to you, whether you are Republican, Democrat, a liberal, whatever. What I read to you tonight is Ephesians 6 is the real deal. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't. I mean, all that stuff is trivial. Okay? We have so many things that's going on in the world. You think that you need to combat somebody or want to fight somebody, by all means, it's good to have a debate. It's good to talk about things. But one thing that the devil wants to do is to deceive you. He does not want you to be happy. Not at all. So what he does is he has this illusion that, you know, that things are wrong or things are going awry. I'm trying to get the chat room up, and I apologize because it's not working right now, so I apologize for that. But hopefully the chat room will come back on. I'm trying to refresh it. We'll see where it goes from there. But let's get to the nitty gritty of things. Things that are going on right now that are pressing for me are the things that Christians should be talking about. We're talking about Muslims who want to do harm to American citizens, to do harm to Christians around the world. These radical Muslims, as the far right would call them, are out to destroy civilization as we know it, especially Americans. And if you haven't heard my past shows about nationalism and the romanticism of nationalism, you need to go back in archives and look at it again, because very important that you understand that the difference between being a patriot and being an American is a slippery slope. If you allow things to happen on your watch, you're going to be held accountable for that. If you think that the world is it is because the world is just going nonchalantly and doing whatever it wants to do and has no consequences, then you are completely wrong. The Bible tells us what's going on today. It's going to happen. We are of this world, but we're not in this world. So I'm here to encourage you. With glad tidings, and I thank you for tuning in and listening in. If you want to call in, you can call in at area code 347-989-1014. So I'm definitely going to get started, get into deep. We got an hour and 45 minutes, so we're going to get into some deep stuff, y'all. Okay. Now, saying this, there is a old email that was circulating around Facebook, and it is supposed to be what people would say hoax. But this is an email that was circling around the Facebook for a long time. So I'm going to try to read it. And you can call in or you can comment about what this is, okay? So I'm going to read it, and then you can go ahead and you can say what you need to say about the things that's going on. So it's kind of funny how these emails go around and people think they're real, and they express things that they may be feeling, and they just necessarily don't want to come out and say the truth. So this is supposed to be this is supposed to be a feeling or an example of how people are feeling of this feelings that this man puts out. I'm going to tell you that I don't agree with it. I don't believe that it's even real. That was written, and that's because it's just a bunch of BS. So it reads, "My name is William G. Ellis. I want to clear up a few black and white questions and answers. The things I state are facts, are not downloaded, so some media website, not propaganda, just observation from an 83-year-old black man from America, born in America. I was told by my parents, yes, a married man and woman with the same last name that I was a nigger. We lived in Nigger Town, in a small town in Texas. No AC, grass growing through the floor, no car, no TV. We washed our bodies with lye soap that my mother made by hand. I thought I was a nigger until I graduated high school, went to college, did an enlistment in the Army, and got a job. I am now retired, own my own home, has six children by one woman, and was all have the same last name. I have a bachelor's degree in liberal arts and a master's degree in sociology. My retirement VA disability from the battle or combat in the Korean War, I only have one leg and paid and part-time pay in a local college is about $125,000 a year. From dirt poor nigga to old black proud American, yes, I am black, and yes, I say nigga because I understand the true meaning of the word. Let's clear up a few things about Michael Brown's incident. Fact, is it not called shoplifting or stealing if called robbery, which is a felony? Brown stole something and assaulted someone. That means robbery. It's a video, and it's a fact, not shoplifting, not theft, not lifting a cigarette, a few cigarettes, but robbery. Michael Brown, like Trevon, was portrayed in the media as a little black boy, cute little headphones, and covered with a cap and a gown photo, gunned down by a ruthless cop assassin, executed by Whitey. First I have ever seen a cop drag a person in their car door, driver door to arrest them. So let's be clear. Michael Brown was a nigger, a sorry-ass criminal hoodlum nigger. Nobody wants to say that, but I will. He was a criminal. He had a criminal record a mile long, with numerous assaults, robberies, including one you saw with your very own eyes, and stood to refuse to call it a robbery. He was, like many others, living a life that he thought was entitled to, just for being alive. Gangster rap, weed, drinking, guns, and those stupid-ass low-profile rims making him some kind of badass nigga. I have fought socialist Chinese and Korean soldiers in the 1950s with more honor than that nigga. Yep, I peeled potatoes and shot communists. That's the only job a nigga soldier could get. Rodney King, black riots. Trayvon, black riots. Hurricane Katrina, black riots. Stealing TVs, designer clothes, etc. O.J. Simpson kills a white woman and a white man and a white woman and found not guilty. Did whites riot? Nope. In fact, the last time a white person rioted? Civil War, maybe? That's because they are relatively like many black Americans. Protesting is one thing. Hell, I overall done it. Even if you are an ignorant idiot, you have the right to protest. Stop only showing the young black cap and gown photos of Michael. Charles Manson may have a few of those laying around as well. Show the nigger gangster photo of the proud, unarmed teenager gown man photos that has been removed from his Facebook, holding a loaded pistol, smoking weed, mouth full of money. Militarization? Stupid-ass media that publicized this has no idea what militarization really is. Cops wear helmets and vests and drive armored cars, vehicles, because unemployed niggers throw rocks at them, moron. You put on a Adam 12 uniform and walk down the street of Ferguson doing the criminal riots, and I can guarantee you would jump into the first armored military tank that you see. You only want the police when you need the police. Otherwise, you mock and fear what you do not understand about the police. And by the way, the police are trained to take your shit. But I don't fuck around with those Army National Guards. They aren't as well disciplined and culturally to take your shit like the police do every day. They will be vandalize your black ass with M16s and the military precedents and extreme prejudice. And finally, the way we protest and demonstrate justice is running down the street, breaking shit, looting stores, and acting like a bunch of untrained monkeys. Hell, after Rodney King, criminal niggers were actually killing people, thinking that they were entitled to be worse criminals than they already were. For those black criminals that do that, you are a disgrace to your race, inflamed by idiots like Al Sharpton. Instead of listening to logic from proud black Americans like Bill Cosby, Sally L. Jackson, Colin Powell, Alan West, me, etc., you blame whites for your ignorance, criminal acts, unemployment, laziness, etc. You blame white people for 89% of prisons in America being full of blacks. They did nothing wrong, and racist cops framed them all. Right. No chance at school, no chance in college, military, employment, bullshit. More niggers kill niggers than niggers kill whites. Whites killing niggers and whites killing whites combined. I found this astonishing. It's not white people's fault. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed by a white man years ago. You can go to school, get a job, buy a house, and vote, just like white folks. You are not a slave. You do not have discrimination against you. Slavery is abolished, and nobody alive today was alive when you were popular. Get over it. You are discriminated against because you are criminals, sorry ass niggers. Otherwise, black Americans are treated like everyone else. If you choose to create baby daddy, baby mama, and fake disabilities as an excuse for laziness to draw Social Security disabilities instead of a husband or a wife, a family, job, mortgage, it's your fault, not white folks. And there are a lot of proud black Americans that will tell you the same, and I am one of them. Remember, the way you act on camera is a memory by everyone who sees it. They will never forget it. It shows them how you, as black race, respond to situations that does not particularly go your way you think it should. Come a recent reference the standard. Sometimes they expect from you when the next media report doesn't go your way. Stop being a stupid nigger and be proud black American. My mother raised me well, and they were wrong about one thing. I am not a nigger. I will not be around long while my mind's still sharp and my aim is to feel good. My body is eating away with cancer. It's started in my prostate, and it's spreading rapidly. After I die, I have asked my children to publish my writings and include my name. Although I am not expecting any miracles, I can only hope that America will stop blaming color, start blaming criminals, and see people for what they really are. We have too many countries that want us dead. We should not be fighting each other. William G. Lattice. So what do you think? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I'm telling you, people, I have never seen such craziness before in my life. Why is it when a black man at his age feels this way and starts to talk this way and try to upgrade, and he uses the N-word. Now, you've got to analyze who's writing this. We as the black community, we don't think that a black man wrote this. By all means, we don't believe that a black man wrote this. Not at one bit, okay? If you go to Scope.com talk about this is a hoax because they can't find their original email and they can't find who it originally goes to, okay? So some people who responded to this email says, regardless if it's real or not, whoever wrote this is speaking the truth for majority of the Americans who are reading this on Facebook. I say, if you feel that way, you feel that way. But no 83-year-old black man that went through segregation, that been through the Klan, who lives in Texas, who fought the war and was not equal, who couldn't use the GI Bill, who couldn't use the VA loan system, and then he goes and calls Mike Brown nigger, a sorry-ass criminal hoodlum nigger. Okay. Then he goes and says, gangster rap, weed, drinking, guns, and stupid-ass low-profile whims making him some kind of badass nigger. Once again, this person is writing as a black man. He sounds like Uncle Ruckus to me. Don't let me pull up an Uncle Ruckus thing. And you could say, well, a lot of black people feel that way. Okay, well, listen. He said, when was the last time white people rioted? Fine, white people rioting after football games, baseball games, hockey games, for sure hockey games. And the way they're portrayed on TV is not thugs, it's not hoodlums, it's nothing. But, oh boy, let it be black folk. You hear me? Let it be black folk. We've talked about this before. Now, this is a kicker for me, okay? He said, for those black criminals that do that, you are a disgrace to your race, inflamed by idiots like Al Sharpton. Instead of listening to logic from proud black Americans like Bill Cosby, Samuel L. Jackson, Colin Powell, and Alan West, me, etc. You further know this was not a black man because he didn't mention Martin Luther King. If he's 83 years old, he hit parts of slavery. Mm-hmm. He hit parts of Jim Crow. He has hit parts of segregation. He's hit parts of discrimination. And then he's going to say there's no such thing as discrimination? Bill Cosby, Samuel L. Jackson, Colin Powell, Alan West. First of all, an 83-year-old black man from Texas would probably not even know who Alan West was. What has Bill Cosby contributed to the movement, being an activist? What has Samuel L. Jackson done as an activist for black people? What has Colin Powell, the Republican, done for the black movement? And Alan West, No. And you expect, you are expecting black people to believe this, right? This is fabricated and put to mislead people in the wrong way. I don't buy it, not one bit. Okay. I'm not going to buy it. You've got to understand propaganda. Propaganda. Because I'm about to go down the rabbit hole. And a lot of you won't even understand it. But it's true. Some people say, hey, the Willie Lynch letter is not real. It's made up by the CIA. Talk about drugs and weed and all that stuff. Let's take a look at what Willie Lynch has stated. He says, I have made a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if you installed correctly, it will create and control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Many members of your family or your overseers can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for controlling purposes. Let me say that again. Fear, distrust, and envy to control purposes. Okay, let's take slaves out the box. Let's talk about what's going on in the world and in America today. Fear-mongering against Muslims. Do you have to do to get people's attention? Let's see what he says. He says, these methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simply little list of differences and think about it. Of my list is age. But it is, they're not the only, but it's because it starts with A. The second is color or shade. There is an intelligent size, sex, size of a plantation, status on the plantation, attitude of the owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on the hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is long or short, tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action, but before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy, stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. Black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will be self-refueling, self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Do not forget, you must pitch the old black man versus the young black man. The young black man against the old black man. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves. And the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks. But it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love us, respect us, trust only us. Gentlemen, this kit are the keys to control. Use them. Have your wives use them. Your children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensively for 1 year, this slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a psychological, profound, demonistic herd of lies. Herd of lies. The realization. Listen, I didn't want to get deep on the Willie Lynch, but it is important that you understand the psychological madness of white supremacy. Now, all white people are like this, but they get caught up with the fables and the tales and the representation that is misrepresented, and then it goes back. He said, Willie Lynch said, you must. Okay, you must do this thing. He said, but it is necessary for your slaves to trust and to depend on us. Black people are still depending on the government. They must love us, the Democrats, and trust only us. You must always have your white servants and overseers distrust all black. Okay? So remember back in the days after the Reconstruction period or the Depression, white people felt, they said, as long as I do not fall in the trap of being connected to black or African or Negro or nigger, then I shall be a proud white man, no, regardless of anything. Then you think about the unions. The unions were designed for white people so they can get jobs and blacks couldn't. I mean, it's a little different these days, but the premise is all this stuff is to segregate and to trust us. He said, listen to this. He said, gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and your children use them. Never miss an opportunity. What is Donald Trump doing right now? He is using the media and never using letting an opportunity slip away. We're talking about immigration. People, same concept. Let me read this part of it. He said, let's make a slave. Let's just take Negro out of it. Let's take Negro out of it, right? This right here, I tell you, it gets, the rabbit hole goes deep. It goes deep, okay? And I probably got a caller. I'm not sure. Nope, don't have a caller. That's good. That's good. Nobody's in the chat room, so that's all right. So I'll continue on. It says, it was the interest and business. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand this. It is the interest. What's the word that the government uses when they want to go and protect people? National security. National security. Okay. It is in the interest of America and the business. We're talking about cash money. Of slaveholders to study human and slave nature in particular. We, with a view of practical reason, I and many of them obtained astonishing perforations in this direction. They had to deal not with earth, wood, and stone, but with man. And by every regard, they have to deal with their own safety and prosperity, they needed to know the material on which they were to work. Conscious of the injustice, wrong they were every hour, and knowing that they themselves would do, were they the victims of such wrongs? They were constantly looking for the first sign of dreaded retribution. They watched therefore with skill and practiced eyes and learned to read with great accuracy with the state of mind and heart of the slaves through his sable face. Unusually sobriety, approach, abstraction, sullenness, indifferences indeed, any mood out of the common was afforded the ground for suspicion and inquiry. Frederick Douglass, Let's Make a Slave, is a study of scientific process of man breaking and slave making. It describes the rational and results of Anglo-Saxon ideas and methods of ensuring the master-slave relationship. Let's Make a Slave, the original development of social being called the Negro. Let's Make a Slave. What do we need? First of all, we need a black nigger man. We need a pregnant nigger woman and her baby nigger boy. Secondly, we will use the same basic principles that we use in breaking a horse, combined with some more sustainable factors. Excuse me. What do we do with a horse is that we break them from one form of life to another. That is, we reduce them from their natural state in nature, whereas nature provides them with natural capacity to take care of them, their offspring. We break that natural sting of independence from them, or create a dependency status so that we may be able to get from them useful production for our business and a purpose. Woo, Lord, ladies and gentlemen, I am talking about some warfare. Killing me softly. Warfare. I'm not sure if anybody really knows what's going on in the world. But right now, I mean, I have got to get people to get that in my mind. They are breaking society down. They are separating us. They are dividing us. It's a spiritual warfare. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Let me get that scripture for you right quick. Let me get it for you real quick. Steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It says, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it in abundance. Go to Peter. First Peter. connect. And that's why I started off with the Ephesians. Okay? I started off with Ephesians because you must understand what we are dealing with. It supersedes flesh. It supersedes anything that we have to do with. You have to fight, really understand the truthfulness of the word. If you don't understand the word, then the word is going to become void. And you won't have a clue what's hitting you. A clue. So I got it. It's 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, whom he may destroy. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace be called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after have suffered perfect establishment and settled you. To him be the glory, the dominion over forever and ever. Amen. Wow. This is some deep stuff, y'all. I want so for you guys to understand where I'm coming from. I wish you you could understand the places of this evilness. It's tough, y'all. It's tough. Tough love. Tough. But the reality is, it's real. I'm going to continue with this Willie Lynch. I've done the Willie Lynch before, but I think the Willie Lynch, I got to come back to it. And the reason why I got to come back to it, I mean, I'm going to read it right now, but I'm going to come back and do a whole nother show on it, because this Willie Lynch thing does something to me, y'all. And the reality is, you know, are you willing to understand the things that we're going through right now? Are you willing to understand that? Are you willing to put down what you believe to be right so Jesus can be right? Okay, this is what he says. He says, important principles for making a Negro. For fear that our future generation may not understand the principles of breaking both the beast together, the nigger and the horse, we understand that the short-range plan economic results in the periodic economic chaos. Let me do this for you. Since you got all the answers, let me do this for you right quick.
Okay.
I want to show you something. This is economic chaos. Okay? So I'm getting this from Economic Collapse, the Economic Collapse blog.com archives, and it is not giving me what I want. I feel a little silly. I apologize, because it is by definition, not giving me what I want. The economic case. Economic crash. They got economic crashes, the economic chaos, chaos theory. Okay, so the chaos theory is what they're saying. Let's see, I don't want to get to anything that's wrong. And I usually, you know, I usually prep before I do this kind of thing, but it's not giving me what I want, and I apologize. But, you know, nevertheless, chaos theory is the field of studying in mathematics that studies the behavior of the dynamic systems that are highly sensitive to initial condition, a response of popular referring to as the butterfly effect. Some differences in the immediate conditions, such as those doing the round errors of numeral calculation, yield widely diversity outcome of a dynamic system. What does that mean to me? I have no idea. simple chaos, right? Whew, Lord. Craziness. So, we understand that part. So that to avoid turmoil in economics, it requires us to have breadth in a long-range, comprehensive planning, accumulating both skills, sharp processes. We lay down the following principles for a long-range, comprehensive economic planning. What are they talking about? Oh, they're having an economic plan. It has nothing to do with what you say, race. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with money, right? Okay. But horses and niggers are no good to the economy in the wild or natural state. Both must be broken and tied together in order, an orderly procession for only the future. Special and particular attention must be paid to the female and the youngest offspring. Both must be crossbreeded to produce a various and division of labor. What? Come on now. Come on. Let's go back. Let's talk about what this gentleman said. He said, lazy. He says, you blame white people for your ignorance, crime, criminal acts, unemployed, laziness, etc. You blame white people for 89% of prisons in America being filled with blacks. They do not, they did nothing wrong. The racist white cops framed them all? Right. No chance at school, no chance at for college, military, etc. BS. More niggers kill than niggers kill whites. Whites kill niggers and whites killing whites combined. I drew a blank. He said, I find that absurd. He goes on to say, this is the article. I'm reading the article now. I'm not talking about the Willie Lynch. I'll be that in a second. It says, it is not white people's fault that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by a white man years ago. You can go to school, get a job, buy a house, and vote, just like white folks. You are not slaves. You are not discriminated against. Slavery is abolished, and nobody alive today was alive when it was popular. Get over it. You are discriminated against because you are a criminal, sorry-ass nigger. Otherwise, black America are treated like everyone else. If you choose to create a baby daddy and a baby mama, but fake disabilities as an excuse for laziness to draw Social Security disability, instead of being a husband, a wife, family, job, mortgage, it's your fault, not white folks. And there are a lot of proud black Americans that will tell you the same, and I'm one of them. Okay, let's go back to the Willie Lynch letter, okay? Let me. Both horses and niggers are no good to the economy in the wild or natural state. What does he mean by that? That means he doesn't want the horse to eat grass. He don't want the horse to run free, jump over things. He don't want the Negro, the African, to have his language. He don't want the African to have communication with other Africans. He don't want Africans to have their own religion. He did not want the Africans to be able to communicate. He didn't want the Africans to be able to read English or be able to even write their native tongue. So that is the absence of their natural state. That's the naturalness of who we are, to take it away. Then he goes, this is Willie Lynch saying this. He says, both must be broken and tied together for orderly production, for the orderly future. Special and particular attention must be paid to the female and the young male's offspring. Both must be crossbred to produce a very various and division of labor, but most be taught to respond to a particular new language. Psychological and physical instructions of contamination must be created for both. We hold the six cardinal principles as true to be self-evident. Based upon the following, the discourse concerning the economic of the breaking and the tying of the horse and the nigger together, all inclusive of the six principles lied down above. No, neither the principle alone will suffice for good economics. All principles must be employed for orderly good of the nation. According to both a wild horse and a wild or natural nigger, it's dangerous even if, for they will have the tendency to seek their customary freedom, and in doing so, must kill you in your sleep. You cannot rest. They sleep while you are awake. And while you're awake, they will sleep. They are dangerous near the family house. And if required too much labor to watch them away from the house. Above all, you cannot get them to work in the natural state. Hence, both horse and nigger must be, in other words, broke the will to resist. Now, the broken process is the same in both the horse and the nigger, only in sight varying in degrees. But as we have said before, there is an art to long-range economic planning. You must keep your eyes and your thoughts on the female and the offspring of the horse and the nigger. A brief discourse in offspring development will shed light on the key of sound future generations, economic principles. Pay little attention to the generation occurring original breaking, but concentrate on the future generation. Therefore, if you break the female mother, she will break the offspring in its early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she will deliver it up to you, for her normal female protective seeds will have been lost in the original breaking process. For example, take the case of a wild stud horse and a female horse. and an already infant horse and compare the breaking process of the two captured nigger males in a natural state. A pregnant nigger female with her infant offspring. Take the stud horse, break him, limited contamination. Completely break the female horse until she becomes very gentle, whereas you are anybody who tries to ride her for comfort. Breed the mare and stud while you have desired offspring. Then you turn the stud to freedom until you need him again. Train the female horse whereby she will eat out of your hand, and she will train to the infant horse to eat out of your hand also. When it comes to breaking an uncivilized nigger, use the same process by varying the degree and the steps of the pressure so as to do complete reversal of mind. Take the meaningless and the most restless nigger, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining male Negroes, females, and the Negro infants, tar and feather him, tie his legs to different horses' face to pull different ways, set him on fire, and beat both horses to pull him apart in front of the remaining niggers. The next step is to take the bull whip and beat the remaining niggers to the point of death in front of the female and the infants. Do not kill him, but put the fear of God in him, for he becomes to be useful in the future breeding. My God, my God, my God. Anything goes tonight. Anything goes. See, there was a poem. I don't know who the poem's by. This poem was written for black men. And the poem is called The Apology. And it's short and sweet. It says, they beat me, and I called for you to save me. But you couldn't. So I secretly resented you, our babies, and sold them. I begged you to save us, but you couldn't. So I secretly blamed you. They raped me, and I cried out for you to protect me, but you couldn't. So I stopped trusting you. You were supposed to be my man, my provider, my protector, but when I needed you, you could not be there. So I hated you. How could I let you tell me what to do when Master could protect me more often than you? How could I submit to you when you are forced to submit to Master? So to protect myself, I submitted to the one who could protect me and our children. I stopped trusting you. I stopped loving you. I stopped honoring you. I stopped valuing you. And in turn, I became valueless to you. I did not see the frustration in your eyes when our children were sold. I didn't hear your silent cries when I was beaten. I didn't see your anger when I was being ravished. I did not understand that you held your emotions to be strong for me. I thought you didn't care. But when you wanted to be there, you wanted to protect me. But Master made you so you couldn't, so I trusted him more than you. I did not hide my hand shaping of our destiny. All I saw was my pain and the feeling that you neglected me. For all the times I blamed you, I am sorry. For resentment and the distrust I've held against you for centuries, I'm sorry. For the time that I've let you down, for all the times I've broken your spirit with my words and my actions. For the times I opened my rejection to you, I tried to control you because I thought less of you. I'm sorry. NASA had a plan that he said would work for 400 years. 400 years is now over. My eyes are wide open, and I see this king in you. Please forgive my wrongs and see your queen in me. Beautifully written. Loved it. I tell you, that is a powerful, thing that was written, because you try to understand it. Why do black women become so mad? Why do black men treat white black women the way they do? Ladies and gentlemen, I just read to you the Willie Lynch letter. Not all of it. Peace up. Read you a piece of it. And like I said, I'm going to go further in depth later on. But, man, it is deep. It is deep. That is a lot of craziness going on in the world. I don't pretend like I know everything, because I don't. I know what I know. And there are things that we don't understand, y'all. The things we don't understand, we got to come to terms with it. We got to come to grips with it. So my name is George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forums. Next time I hear you or see you, you should be sounding off.
Try to find that one. And they always come up with none. I'm not trying to end up like them, no. Cause being lonely just ain't for me.
Ain't for me.
So I'm steady
searching,
cause I know she's out there
lurking.
And she's gonna put it down till I'm done. She's gonna be the best I ever had.
I'm looking for the one.
Satisfy her every need. Love her so good, she will never wanna leave. Now I'm gonna make the same mistakes.
No.
Cause I got an ice box where my heart used to be. So I'm steady
searching.
Cause I know she's out there
lurking.
I'ma put it down till she's done. I'ma be the best she's ever had.
I'm looking for the one.
I'm looking for the
where are you? Where I'm looking for the where.